But I definitely think there's like, you know, gender thing that comes in, because now that I have a partner, it's a lot easier for me to be casual with other people, because when I didn't, you know, men would just, you know, kind of like
get a little territorial.
I feel like because I engage with them in a certain way, because I might have slept with them, or even because like I let them buy me a drink, you know, that they could, you know, that they had like rights over me, or that, you know, they could be upset if I was with someone else, even though I said from the beginning that I didn't have those intentions. And now that I have a boyfriend, it's great, because it's like, you know, it's a safety net.
Welcome back to Dear Polly, a podcast about sexual exploration and polyamory. Welcome back to part two of I'm Polly and He's Not, with the host of Polycurious, Fair. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen. This is the continuation of a really wonderful episode packed with lots of really great information. If you have a topic or a question that you would like us to cover, please feel free to reach out. You can do so on our website through the anonymous web form at dearpolypodcast.com. You can also just send us a direct message on the gram at dearpolypodcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you like our content, please give us a rating. It helps others find us. Make sure to follow us on the gram, like and share. But most importantly, I hope you enjoy.
Whereas if like there had been a little bit more communication, a little bit more time to establish the base of the relationship, that situation could have been avoided. But again, I don't know anything about Nick or his partner. So this is just, you know, some thoughts, but take them with a grain of salt.
I completely agree with you. And I don't like his partner. I call him shithead. So it's whatever. And yes, I said that on air. But anyway, I don't think he listens to me anyway. He hates me, so it's fine. But I definitely agree with what you said. I just know that as I've talked with others in the ethically non-monogamous community, there are some very passionate feelings about autonomy. And so when I've had that conversation, sometimes it can get kind of heated on either way, where some people feel like, you know, their partner doesn't have to give them permission because it's their body, their right, their choice, you know. But I definitely align with your value set there. I think that if you're in a relationship, and this is just my personal opinion, you know, but if you're in a relationship, you're always going to make some compromises. I mean, something as simple as like, where are you going to go for dinner? You know, like,
yeah, it doesn't have to be about non-monogamy at all.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's like you have to give up some things if your partner doesn't want what you want, you know?
Yeah. And I think that respect for each other in making those compromises can transfer into, you know, the sexual romantic aspect of it as well. So, you know, I don't know. That's my feelings. But since you're walking that delicate line, I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because you're literally walking that line.
Yeah, I think what's important, because, you know, it's totally fine to say, listen, my autonomy is important and I'm not going to stop seeing other people, even if you want me to. But what's important is to have that conversation, because I think that's the issue, you know. I just think that people should say that up front, and then there will be no surprises, you know, because even if you believe that, if you don't communicate it, you are in a way being disrespectful, because you cannot assume that everyone thinks the way you think. And this is also something that I've had to learn the hard way, right? Like, I had a lot of people that I was seeing, And, you know, I was always like, listen, I'm open, or like, I'm non-monogamous. I'm just having fun. I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm not looking for a relationship or whatever. And then I would do things that at the time seemed like they were fine, like being with other people. Even like I was thinking about it actually, because the person that I was recently seeing actually did something in which it did something that upset me, and in like trying to reflect on that, I was like remembering of all the things that I did that upset other people, in which I wasn't clear enough with my intentions. You know, I wasn't, I did say, you know, I'm not looking for anything serious or whatever, but then I remember this instance in which I like made out with a friend of someone I was seeing without communicating that, you know, to either party. And at the time it was like at a party. But when I say someone I was seeing, I must say that this was like very casual. Like he had already with other people. You know, I did make those intentions clear, but the fact that was his friend made a difference, of course. And I didn't, because I was in this mindset of my autonomy, I made clear that I don't want anything with him and that we're not together or whatever. I didn't like think of the fact that I could still hurt him by being with his friend. And all that would have taken for me to not, you know, fuck up that situation would have been to come up to him and say, listen, I'm attracted to your friend. I know we're not, you know, I know we're not together. I know that I do whatever I want and that you've seen me make out with other people, but I want to let you know because I'm being considerate of your feelings, you know? And that's where, you know, you can do autonomy, but you have to, you know, you have to communicate about those things. And that's why, even if you're in this mindset of autonomy, unless you like go around breaking people's hearts, like I used to do, you know, you have to consider other people, you know, even if you want to be autonomous, which also means that you have to put time and energy into non-monogamy, which is, you know, something that I've been reflecting on a lot, because when things ended with this last person that I was seeing, you know, I was just like, oh, wow, I spent so much time and energy on this. And, you know, that's to me what's making me question, like, is it worth it to engage in this way? Because there's always going to be, when you're in non-monogamous arrangements, little things that you have to deal with like that. Especially if you're seeing someone who's seeing other people, you are seeing other people and, you know, you are in the same spaces and environments, and things can get messy if you don't communicate clearly, you know. And even if you do communicate, it does require time, energy, and effort. Even if everything's fine, it requires a lot of that. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Oh yeah. No, it does. It does require energy. It takes a lot. I identify as solo poly. I don't know that I will ever have a nesting partner. I'm also never going to say never, because you never know what's going to happen in the future. But I do really love my autonomy and my freedom, and I need my personal space. It's a must for me. But I'm really lucky that so far all of my experiences have all been, one, both incredibly rewarding, but also, even though none of them have lasted, I have remained incredibly close friends to every one of them. Like, when they ended, it was never a matter of like any one of us was mad at the other. It was more a matter of like, we just realized that maybe it shouldn't keep going. Like, there's something that just doesn't quite fit right. And we've remained incredibly close. I feel very, very, very fortunate that it's worked out that way. I hope that it continues to work out that way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And I'm actually, I would be interested to hear your thoughts on this, because I was having this conversation with a gay friend of mine, and we were talking about how in the gay community is in a way easier in the, I would say like male gay community, we were talking specifically. I'm not really sure about the lesbian community, but it's kind of easier to have casual relationships without it becoming like a thing. And I mean, I don't want to generalize, and that's why I'm asking also your opinion. But, you know, I was curious because I would see him just kind of like going on Grindr and like sleeping with people and then never seeing them again and not having to like justify or anything like that. And even though for me, like I'm generally, when I go into these sort of arrangements, I generally don't go into them thinking that I want them to be more than friends with benefits and just kind of like a casual thing. Oh, something always ends up happening. Like, and it's not always like we end up upset. Like I'm also good friends with the people that I've dated, but I would say with like half of them, you know, like the other half, it also hasn't ended like in drama or anything, but they've just like done something that I'm just like, you know, you could have communicated better in a way. And I don't know if this is, you know, just me putting too much meaning on things or whatever, but it's also them. That's the thing. Cause that's what, my friend was like, oh, you know, but that's because you get feelings for people or whatever. And, you know, maybe that's because you are like that. But I was like, no, I mean, even the relationships in which I haven't been the one who has feelings and like the other person got feelings, then I hurt the other person just by, you know, breaking up with them and, mm-hmm. and maybe seeing other people or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I wish it could be like more casual, and maybe I should just go into the dating apps or something. I don't know if that would like make a difference, but yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think there's like a difference?
There is a difference. And before I dig into it or dive into it, I do want to say, like, I may be solo poly, but I do still have like emotional relationships. I just think of myself as my primary, and I think of myself as my nesting partner. So I had two boyfriends after Nick, but I still consider myself solo poly just because I'm my primary. I come first. That makes me sound really selfish.
No, I think that's great. I think that's great. And I'm, again, I was solo poly before I met Seth. And you know, whether you want to do that forever or whether you want to do that temporarily, I think that's great. As long as you communicate that Absolutely. To other people.
So to answer your question about the cultural differences around hookup culture, if you will, within the gay community versus the heterosexual community, it is, I think that it is easier because it has historically existed for so long. When you think about the evolution of the gay community, I mean, like we started in the alleys and like the basement bars, and like we had to be discreet and we had to carry out a different life in public than we did in private. And so that idea, that mystery, that excitement around hooking up with someone for one time, no intentions of like seeing them again, it's just kind of culturally carried on with us. Like it's just kind of remained there. So I think the reason that it is easier is because within our community, it's not looked down upon and it's not been talked poorly about like it has in the heterosexual community. Like if straight women did that, oh my God, the slut shaming that would go with it. Although I think like nowadays, I think actually culturally now it is shifting. It's definitely shifting. But like 15 years ago, a straight woman would have been slut-shamed for that type of behavior. Like, it would not have. But in gay culture, it's not even an issue. You don't even talk about it, you know, unless it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. And I'm lucky that I'm in a community. I mean, in the Burning Man community in Brooklyn, that's very open and accepting and all of that. But I definitely think there's like, you know, gender thing that comes in. Because now that I have a partner, it's a lot easier for me to be casual with other people. Because when I didn't, you know, men would just, you know, kind of like
get a little territorial.
I feel like because I engage with them in a certain way, because I might have slept with them, or even because like I let them buy me a drink, you know, that they could, you know, that they had like rights over me, or that, you know, they could be upset if I was with someone else, even though I said from the beginning that I didn't have those intentions. And now that I have a boyfriend, it's great, because it's like you know, it's a safety net that like I can still hurt people, and I probably have, but you know, they will always know that I have a partner, so it has to be casual, you know.
I fully believe that whole male territorial aspect comes from the fact that in the past, women were property, you know? And I think culturally, we have not done enough to move past that mentality. So even though men don't think of women as property in general anymore, there's still that whole idea of she's mine in a way, or I want her to be mine in a way. So I don't know. There's a really, great book called Sex at Dawn, which talks about evolution of human sexuality from hunter-gatherer times up through the Industrial Revolution, where women did actually become property. And that's where culturally we've, you know, it's done. Yeah, it's been a lot. Yeah, it's a good book, though. Yeah. You should read it if you have time.
Yeah, I know of the book. I know of Christopher Ryan, and it's definitely on my list. I think I might have downloaded it already, but I haven't read it yet. But I will definitely read it, because it's very much in the conversation. It comes up a lot, and I think that it would equip me with more vocabulary and information to have conversations around non-monogamy, because it is monogamy is a cultural product to some extent, you know.
It is. Yeah. It's the result of the Industrial Revolution. Because before that, we had to be communal. Like, we were forced to be communal to survive. So everything was shared. But then once we were able to own land, we then had to protect what was ours. So like the mentality culturally just shifted. Anyway, I'm totally getting off track. sorry, I told you I'm like a cat. I can get sidetracked really easily.
No worries. That's what conversations are for.
It is. So I'm trying to see if there are any other like questions specifically that I had on here. And I feel like we've actually gone through and answered a lot of them. I try to keep my episodes at right around an hour or less. And so if I want to go ahead and give you an opportunity to first, like, if someone's listening that is curious or interested or has really just kind of like identified with your story or your thoughts and feelings, what would be some advice that you would give them? What's something you'd say?
So if someone is curious about non-monogamy or just...
Or just connected with your story.
Yeah. I bet that this podcast is probably, you know, has a lot of LGBT people in the LGBTQ community, which is great. But I would say, if you are a woman wanting to open up your relationship, or because, you know, if you identified with my story, you probably are in that position.
My demographic, I would say, is 62% women. So it's not as, it's amazing, not as gay as you'd think. Yeah. So I probably have some listeners that'll identify with you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of women have a lot of desires and we're not taught to express those. And you don't have to be non-monogamous necessarily, but if you feel that you have some desires that aren't met in your relationship or more generally in your life, I would say, you know, express those desires, try to let go of shame. If you're someone who's starting to open up your relationship, I would say listen to podcasts like this one, podcasts like mine, Polycurious. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. And just know that there are resources out there. It's kind of a new thing and a thing that we're having to deal with as a society. So it can go wrong. And I know a lot of people who are like turned off by non-monogamy because they've tried it and it didn't work. But, you know, you have to think of what you want and what you need depending on the person that you are, and own those feelings, communicate them, and know that you can find a way to feel fulfilled, whether that's sexually or emotionally. So I would say that for women. And for people just more generally who want to like venture in non-monogamy, I mean, this is what a lot of people say, but communication is really, really important. And I feel like the most important thing actually is to have someone that you feel like you are safe to communicate with. So, you know, if you have a partner who's not open to having conversations, then you should probably be looking for another partner. If you have a partner who's making you feel wrong for expressing your feelings, then you should probably be looking for another partner. If you have a partner who's open to listening and hearing what you have to say and acknowledging your feelings, then, you know, the world is your oyster. You might have to make some compromises like we've talked about in your relationship. It's not like you can have whatever you want all the time. But you know, if you have that base of good communication and trust, then, you know, anything is possible. We are at a moment in our society where it's more accepted to talk about this, but we've always been attracted to other people. We've always, you know, felt like we might want to be with someone else besides our partners. Before, people were cheating, and a lot of people are still cheating, but we don't have to. There's ways to do it ethically. There's community, there's resources out there. And if you are like not curious about non-monogamy and want to remain monogamous, that's totally fine. But the likelihood of you and your partner to be in that scenario, I would say, is very low. So, you know, go about it slow, but talk about it. Oh, and another thing that's really important that I feel like I've learned doing the interviews, because for the podcast, I interview people in non-monogamous relationships about their journey. I also have sometimes coaches, relationship experts. I will have you on the podcast, which I'm super excited about. And something that comes up a lot is, you know, insecurities around your partner wanting something different than you. Like more often than not, there's one person in the relationship that wants to be more open than the other one, or one person who's sleeping around more or dating around more. And there's no reason to feel insecure about that. Everyone's different. Everyone has different needs. And you don't need, if you open up, you don't need to go on two dates a week and your partner go on two dates a week. Like, it really just, it's about getting your needs met, and your needs are going to be different from your partner. So it's going to look different depending on the person and depending on the relationship. So yeah, that's, I think that's what I would say for your listeners. And also if they have any questions that they resonated with my story and want to reach out, I'm always open to have conversations around this. I'm sure that you'll link all of the information Absolutely. For my contact and my podcast. So yeah, would love to hear from you if you have anything to say. So,
and she's got a great podcast. I've been listening to it to kind of get a feel for who you are leading up to our interview. And I think you've got some really great content. So I will definitely make sure that all of your links are in the show notes so people can find you, they can reach out to you. Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And we do have a couple of episodes with people from the LGBTQ community. And I mean, most people, most couples who are there are at least bi curious, but also for the upcoming season, I'm making it a point to interview more gay people, because I feel like, you know, like the conversation we just had about, you know, the casual hookup and all of that, there's like a lot of ways in which that community is exploring and a lot of things to talk about. So I'm also very, very much looking forward to our conversation. I almost, you know, wanted to keep the questions because I know that, you know, we have limited time and I want to save them for our next episode. But
yeah,
that's also coming up on our next season.
I'm excited. I'm really excited for it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to share your story with my audience. I'm excited to see, you know, what kind of responses I get. My podcast is generally built off of my listener engagement. So as they hear things in episodes, they reach out to me and then I create the next episodes based off of that. So it's going to be exciting.
That's awesome. Well, do let me know. Curious to hear what your listeners have to say. And thank you so much. This was lovely. And thank you so much for inviting me. And keep up the good work, because I know that you've been going at it with the podcast. And I know what that is like from personal experience. So congratulations on that. And a pleasure to be part of it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.